Welcome to Deacon Dialogues, bringing you a deacon's perspective on the world we live in and the Catholic faith we are called to. And now, here are your hosts, Deacon Rich Napoli and his wife, Janet.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Deacon Dialogues. I'm your host, Deacon Rich Napoli, joined by my lovely wife, Janet.
Hello, everyone.
And we're here during this Lenten season, 2015. We hope you are having a happy and holy Lent as you prepare for the coming of Jesus and Easter.
And we hope that this spring will be a good one. I know it doesn't feel much like spring today, but I am enjoying these longer daylight hours, and it's giving me an energy boost. And Rich, we're going to need that energy boost. Do you want to tell everybody why?
Yeah, in a few weeks, not only will we be celebrating Easter, but we'll be celebrating the arrival of our second grandchild.
Praise God.
Praise God. We're looking forward to it, and everything is going well, and we're not sure which is going to come first, Easter or our second one.
And we also want to say happy anniversary to all our Holy Spirit Radio family of listeners, because March 19th, 1999 was the first day that Holy Spirit Radio went live 24/7 Catholic radio. And it's 16 years now. Isn't
Jesus
that wonderful?
Joseph,
16
yeah.
years. So we thank God. We thank the Holy Spirit. We thank Mary, our Blessed Mother. We thank Dale and Jane Meyer and everyone who said their yes to make this possible, because we know Catholic radio is what catechized us.
We catechized, wouldn't be here.
No.
It wasn't at this station.
Our family, the great joy it has been in our life and how it has transformed us.
Yeah.
And the great grace now of having grandchildren and knowing that they're being raised in the faith. That is the best gift you can receive.
Yeah, we are such a blessed, you know, family that trying to live our faith out, that we learn from this station. So we owe it all to this station.
And we thank everyone who prays for Holy Spirit Radio and for all those who make the financial sacrifice to continue with this mission, to go out into the whole world and proclaim the good news. So what good news are we going to be proclaiming today, Rich?
That's a good segue. So this is the third part in a sort of a four-part series that I'm doing on the World Meeting of Families that's coming up in September in our own backyard here in Philadelphia. And it's a very special event, a once-in-a-lifetime event, really, for our diocese. And so we wanted to, you know, help people understand what this World Meeting of Families is all about and why it's relevant to them. We've heard a lot of people say, well, the World Meeting of Families, that's for, like, you know, young families, young mm-hmm. couples with children. It doesn't really apply to me. Why should I have to go? Why do I necessarily really care what is being said? And so we decided to take this approach where for each of the four shows, we're sort of looking at the World Meeting of Families from a particular vantage point, basically saying no matter what your station in life, whether you're married, single, divorced, widowed, clergy, religious, there is something of value. We're all part of our own human families, and we are all part of the family of Christ. And therefore, this is something that's relevant to all of us. So we've done a section on you know, what it means for spouses.
Right.
We've done one on what it meant for parents. Mm-hmm. And we also did one sort of have on clergy because we happen to have my deacon buddies here mm-hmm. Who are attending a retreat. This program, we're going to focus particularly on those that are divorced. And there's so many misconceptions about, can I be Catholic and be divorced? What does
right.
it mean? How do I live my Catholic life in divorce? And the whole annulment process as well. So because of that topic, we have several special guests here. It's grown magically over the years, but over the weeks that we've been preparing for this. But we have several guests here. We have Kathy DiRico, who is the Director of Religious Education at St. Andrew's Church in Newtown. Kathy, welcome.
Hello, Deacon Rich.
You've been on our show before, so
yes,
welcome
I
back.
Have. Thank you. It's great to be here.
Kathy's been in the DRE at St. Andrews for about 12 years, and prior to that, taught Catholic school in North Carolina. And we also have Roger Cisock with us, a close friend of mine, also at St. Andrews. Roger's, besides being in the pharmaceutical industry for over 27 years and his MBA from LaSalle, is also teaches fourth grade CCD in our own parish.
Yes, I do.
So it's welcome. Thank you, Roger.
Thank you.
And we also have Laura Ryder with us from St. Andrew's Parish, who's a convert to the faith, mother of two teenagers, and involved in many ministries in our parish. You see Laura everywhere mm-hmm. in our church. Laura's an account manager for Lighthouse Catholic Media and has her bachelor's in journalism. And then last but not least, I'm sorry, Kat. Please say hello, Laura. Sorry.
Good afternoon.
Thank you for being on the show.
And, thanks for having me.
It's wonderful that you could all be here.
Thank you.
And last but not least, we have sort of a late addition to the program, and that is Rose Sweet, who is a national Catholic author and speaker on topics related to divorce and annulment. She's been on EWTN. She's been on Catholic Answers. She's written several books, How to Understand Your Petition and Your Decree for Nullity, Rebuilding After Divorce. There's a whole list of books that she's written. Most importantly, she's done a 12-part DVD series on the Catholic Divorce Survival Guide, which all three of my in-room people have been part of already. So, Rose, thank you for joining us on such short notice here.
I'm thrilled to be here with such a wonderful group.
Yeah, we're delighted to have you. Thank you so much. Rose, you know, I was saying to you before with having you on the show, it's I could just be quiet now and let you talk for the next hour, but so let me begin by giving you just a little background for our listeners who are not familiar with the World Meeting of Families, sort of what it is and why it's so special, and then we'll come back to the topic of how it relates to those of us divorced Catholics. So the World Meeting of Families is an international event sponsored by the Catholic Church. It got started by Pope John Paul in 1994. It's sponsored by the Vatican Pontifical Council for the Family. And it's held every 3 years in different cities around the world. It's been in Rome, it's been in Rio, it's been in Manila, Valencia, Mexico City, Milan. And now it's in Philadelphia.
Amen.
We're really so blessed. This is probably, certainly not since Pope John Paul II came, but in 1978. But this is probably one of the most significant events we've had in this area. So we're very excited about it. It's held from September 22nd to the 27th this year, and there are two parts to the event. Everybody, of course, is sort of focused on Pope Francis's visit here, and that'll be on the Saturday and Sunday of that weekend, the 26th and 27th. But there's also this very wonderful World Meeting of Family Congress that's being held in the Philadelphia Convention Center, and expected to have about 10 to 15,000 attendees from around the world. These are some families and clergy and speakers coming from all the various continents and countries to spend time to explore sort of in depth and at length what the Church teaches about family, what the Church teaches about not just the beauty of the family and its perfection, but the reality of family life today and often in its brokenness, and how we are still called to draw closer to Christ and overcome that brokenness. So it's a wonderful Congress. Rose Sweet is actually one of our one of the speakers there. So Rose, first of all, what's going to be your topic and when are you speaking on that during that few day period?
I'm already complaining about it. I'm in the last breakout session on Thursday afternoon when everybody's like ready for a nap. So I better have something pretty exciting to say.
Well, Rose, I think being the last one, you're going to invigorate everybody, because there is such a hunger to understand more about divorce, especially what it means being a Catholic. So, and those who aren't divorced certainly still want to attend your session. I know myself I want to, because I want to be able to help those in our family who are in this situation.
Right, right. There's something.
That's a really good point, yeah. Because this is not just for people who are divorced. It's for everybody who loves somebody who's been through separation or divorce, or who works with them, or anybody who cares about what happens to the people they love. So maybe I'll send them off to a nice dinner. That's what we can do. But the World Meeting of Families Commission actually gave me my topic.
Ah.
And so the topic they gave me is, I am with you, struggling with divorce.
Mm.
So my focus really is going to be not just on the issues of custody and money and being lonely and annulment and all that, but also, most of all, that Jesus Christ himself is always with us in the deepest, darkest, painful events in our lives. You know, and we're coming up on Holy Week, and this is a perfect time to remember that he's even close to the brokenhearted and closest sometimes to those who are just going through hell.
Right, right. Especially when we unite ourselves with Christ in our own suffering and, use that, the pain that we're going, as a way to draw closer to him. That, that has
you
such
know,
great
that's
blessings.
That's a beautiful point. And I, on the power and beauty of redemptive suffering that not many of us understand, and I plan to incorporate that in my talk, not only does Jesus say, I am with you, this is a chance where we can go, okay, Jesus, I'm with you.
that's really the yes he's looking for, yeah.
Yes.
And we'll come back to a little bit more on that. I do want to give our listeners just a little more overview of just what to expect for this week, because so many people come to me and say, what's this all about? You know, they haven't heard anything about this. And for those of our listeners that have been on for the last 2 months listening to our shows, I apologize to go through this, but there's just so many people that need to understand, you know, the beauty of this event. And first off, as a sort of a, I don't know, sort of a, you know, logical science guy or whatever, I'm just amazed by the logistics of this event. I mean, because for the papal mass, obviously, which is the high point of the whole week, is which is on that Sunday, you know, they expect 1 to 2 million people here. Mm-hmm. And the logistics of that are just so daunting. And I'm very impressed. I mentioned a thing on the last show is, you know, sometimes in the business world, you know, I'm used to go to conferences, and I'm used to sort of a certain level of a certain standard of excellence for how a conference and a congress goes on. And when I heard about this, I was like, okay, this is going to be, you know, a Catholic event, and national events, World Series, Super Bowls, Democratic and Republican conventions. This is going to be on a world class scale, and so for those of you who are not sure what it's going to be, it's going to be one of the most signature events of our time.
Very professional.
Very professionally done. I mean, all the, you know, logistics of hotel arrangements, mm-hmm. and traffic movement and getting the trains in and out. How do you get 2 million people into Philadelphia, you know, within a few hours? It's going to be quite a challenge.
Well, we're going to be next to each other, but you know what? We're going to be 2 million Catholics or 2 million Christians or people who are there to want to be spiritually lifted up, and I'd like to be in a group like that.
Yep, and I'm particularly interested in how they're going to get communion to 2 million people at once.
But they're going to do it.
They said they can do it. So anyway, you know, it's just a major, major event for our town. At a secular level, the town looks to gain about $500 million in income from all the attendees and the events and the tourism and so on. So it's a major event for the city, and therefore it's got lots of sponsorships from the major corporations, Comcast and so on, are all donating to this. It's all donated money that's driving this. It's not being paid for by the church. It's all private donations. So it's just a major, major event, and I'm very impressed by it. But more importantly, obviously, I'm impressed by the content, right? This is one of the rarest opportunities, I think, that the Catholic Church will have to promote the beauty of our faith and the richness of our teachings on theology of the body, on theology of the family. It's just we never get these things can't be, you know, delivered in a soundbite.
Right.
And having a chance to let us fully explain and explore our faith, I think, is going to be a blessing.
And to really have a chunk of time to really open up ourselves and to go from one session to the next and to see how it all weaves together, how we are all part of a family and how our life, you know, we all affect each other. We are the church. So I'm very excited to be able to attend. And I know, Rose, you said earlier, if people aren't able to attend, that maybe the grandparents should attend and pass on the information.
Yeah, that's so true. You know, those of us who are older sometimes have a little more time, a little more money than the younger families, and this would be a beautiful opportunity to go immerse themselves in all kinds of beautiful resources and helpful hints and all kinds of things to bring back to their kids.
Yeah.
So I hope a lot of people choose to do that.
Yeah, and I think the way it's structured, too, will help promote that. So for each day, there is a morning and afternoon keynote speaker. And then after that, and some of the keynote speakers, Rose, obviously, but also Father Barron and some of these other speakers, they'll be speaking. And then after that, there'll be a whole series of breakout sessions, you know, sort of unpacking what was discussed at that topic. So it's going to be a phenomenal day and a phenomenal week. And I do encourage you to attend. There are a bunch of packages you can find online.
And why don't you give out the website?
Yeah, it's worldmeeting2015.org. It's all one word, and you can see all the different packages there. If you do want to come and stay, you need to reserve hotel rooms through this website because, and again, in the excellence of their planning, they went ahead and reserved every hotel room in not only in Philadelphia, but in Atlantic City and down in Delaware, up in New Jersey. And so you have to reserve a room through them. If you just call the hotel, they'll tell you they're booked up.
Right. And I do hear that March 30th ends early admission for registration, which gives you a little bit of a price cut.
Right.
So if you're really considering it, now's the time to do it.
Right. And it's as little as $125 for the week if you're just coming and maybe going home each day. Obviously, for those that are traveling internationally, there's other packages that provide for, you know, some currency to use while they're here and dinners and things like that. But anyway, it's just a marvelous program. I encourage you to look at it. And it sounds like, Rose, they saved the best for last by having you talk about, you know, how to live the life of a Catholic divorce and how to you use that as a way to draw closer and fulfill your obligations as a parent and as a person of Christ. But, you know, before we do that, first off, let me take a moment just to remind everyone that you're listening to Holy Spirit Radio, WISP 1570 in Doylestown and WCOJ 1420 in Coatesville. I'm your host, Deacon Rich Napoli, joined by my wife, Janet. And on this program, we're talking about the world meaning of families and why it's relevant to those in all stations of life. In particular, today we're talking about those that are divorced and how to deal with what the church's teachings on marriage and divorce, and how can we live an authentic Catholic life in divorce. And so as our guest, we have Kathy DiRico with us and Laura Reeder and Roger Cisak with us as well. And, of course, Rose Sweet, who's a national speaker on this topic. So with that, let me go back, Rose, and just maybe perhaps it's worthwhile starting with you know, some sort of basic theology about marriage and chastity and, you know, because as we talked before we went on air, you know, as you've gone out and talked to folks, there's so many misunderstandings or just lack of education about what the church teaches. And so I thought we'd start with a question, sort of the difference between chastity and celibacy. Because that, you know, to the when I first started back at the seminary, especially after years of being an atheist, you know, to whatever extent I understood those principles, I didn't understand there was a distinction between them. So did you want to take us through that?
Well, you know, Rich, that's a good point. Here's the thing. We start with divorce and we work backward to marriage, and then we even work back to basic chastity and celibacy, because this is all about the human person being made as male and female. And what the heck does that mean? Nowadays, the culture is trying to reinvent everything and just tear apart everything that God has designed from the beginning. And that's why it's important, you're right, that we start with some of the basics. Like, what is chastity? Right. You know, chastity doesn't mean that you wear a black habit and lock yourself up in a convent for 50 years. You know, it just means that you order your sexuality to the good, the true, and the beautiful. Mm. And that's, all of us are called to be chaste with our sexuality, whether we're married, single, or religious. And celibacy, as you know, you mentioned, is a way of living out chastity by abstaining from the marital act. And we all understand that sometimes, you know, people will choose to have a life that is completely celibate. And it's not that they're shunning or running away from sexuality, it's they're pointing it even higher. And I love what we learn in those of us who've been studying Pope John Paul II's beautiful theology of the body, is mm-hmm. that those who choose a celibate life actually they're not rejecting the beauties of marriage. They're going higher. They're skipping it and living out the eternal marriage with God in heaven right here and now.
Mm. Right.
And that's pretty exciting. What do you mean the eternal marriage with God? I never heard of that. You know, and those are some of the questions that we will help people address and understand 2,000 years of beautiful teachings that not very many of us really know.
Right, right. And that, you know, celibacy is, you know, as a state of not being married, it requires the form of chastity that means abstinence. And that always kind of confused me, that being chaste, as you said, is the integration of your sexuality into your station of life. If you're married, you're called to what's called conjugal chastity, which is almost sounds like an oxymoron, but really means living a life that is chaste in your relationship with your spouse, meaning fidelity to your spouse,
right.
Meaning lack of outside relationships, of course, and outside stimulation of, you know, pornography and things like that. Those are all forms of conjugal chastity.
And this is something that I know women, we have to really understand. Chastity is also the way you dress yourself, whether you're married or single, that you are not inviting other people to lust after you. You're not making it easy. And that's another way, it's another form of being chaste that we forget to talk about.
That's right. That's right. There is chastity in your behavior, in your actions, and your dress.
And speech.
Yes.
And your words,
yes.
Right. All those are forms of chastity that, again, depending on your station of life, we're all called to be chaste.
And here's some of the, I hear the argument against this. Well, that's just a bunch of rules and regulations. And I go, no.
Right.
It's an invitation to go higher and do something more beautiful and more freeing and more rich. And I think that's part of the problem, too. People, even Catholics, come into these things with a mindset that all about rules and regulations.
Right. And it's it's so much more than that. And celibacy as a state of being unmarried. I love what there's a companion book that goes for the World Meeting of Families called Love Is Our Mission: The Family Fully Alive, and which really explains the theology of the family at length in a very easy to understand way. But one of the lines here I love is that it says celibacy and marriage are complementary vocations, because they both proclaim that sexual intimacy cannot be an audition. That marital love is a unique relationship that is wonderful, but to be shared only between married couples. And by being celibate and by being abstinent when you're celibate, you are reaffirming the beauty of that marital love. But obviously that's sort of setting a stage, of what we're called to be. And unfortunately, reality, in life often deals us a different hand. And that's what the focus of this show is about. So that so many, and one of the things I see as a deacon, so many of my parishioners are wonderful, strong Catholics and are faced with a marriage that has ended, and maybe not due to them at all, but nevertheless, they're faced with a marriage that is no more, and they're still trying to be good Catholics, and they don't necessarily always understand what that means and how to live that life as divorced Catholics. So I thought maybe, Rose, maybe you could help us understand the notion of Catholic annulment versus a civil divorce, because a lot of times you hear people say, "Well, isn't annulment just Catholic divorce?"
Like you're buying a divorce.
Buying a divorce. What's the difference there? So, I want to talk about that, and then I want to sort of circle back to our three attendees here and sort of get a little bit of their experience of what divorce was like for them and how they've been united with the Church. So first, Rose, maybe a little bit on the difference between divorce and annulment?
Yeah, Rich, we could do a whole show on that.
I know.
A rich and deep topic. And that's what I love about theology of the body. It helps us have the language to explain complexity. So here it is. Marriage is an icon of the way Jesus Christ loves his bride, us, the Church, right?
Right.
And he loves us in a way that's free, total, faithful, and fruitful. Easy to remember. So nobody makes him love us. He has no hidden agenda. He gives completely of himself till death do us part. And he would never be unfaithful to us or bring anything into the relationship and that would hurt us or harm us. That's many forms of fidelity like that. And then finally, whenever we draw close to God and we open up to receive him like a bride to her bridegroom, we're filled with life. Love and life can't be separated. So that's the Church's understanding of a valid marriage. And in fact, the vows we say in church are those four things. I come here freely to give myself to you forever, to be faithful to you, and be open to the gift of children. And we're saying we're going to try to get caught up into that beautiful love that Jesus has for his bride. Now, when you understand that, then and only then can you look at the fact if a marriage falls apart, you go back to the beginning and go, okay, what happened? What was missing of one of those four basic keys of authentic married love? What was in the way? And you take a good hard look at the beginning, not so much into the marriage,
right,
but what was going on in the mind and heart of the two people when they said I do.
At the time of the, of the commitment.
That's a little boilerplate condensation. But when, if a church tribunal makes that investigation and then issues a decree of nullity, they're saying not that there was a marriage and now we break it. That's what civil divorce is.
Right.
We say there never was a valid bond, a valid marriage bond to begin with. It never formed. There was a valid civil marriage,
right,
and a valid mortgage and three valid kids and yes, certainly some good, some good that you enjoyed between yourself and the marriage, but at the heavenly dimension, at the spiritual dimension, there was something gravely missing.
I have a very simple example which might help. I actually have a friend who went through a divorce, and the reason that made her divorce, the annulment, let's say, valid was because when she and her fiancé were preparing for marriage, she turned to him one day and said, listen, if you ever want out of this marriage, you just come to me, and we'll end it. And if I feel the same way, I'll come to you. And he said, sure, deal. Well, you don't enter a marriage from the beginning saying that it's not going to be a permanent arrangement.
Right.
Yes, that automatically invalidated.
Yes.
The back door was unlocked.
Right. Right. And I think that's, you know,
it was an immaturity on their part, even what marriage was all about.
Right. And I think that annulment process, you know, as opposed to a divorce, it's not about how do you dissolve this bond, but it's how do you examine the bond at the time it was created to see, you know, what misconceptions, what impediments there were to prevent it from being a valid bond. And as you said, the church then, through a lengthy process and sometimes a painful process, you know, and I'm getting, seeing a lot of nodding heads here, you know, we recognize that, get to the point that says, yes, this marriage bond didn't happen, and you're free to marry again, free to marry. So it's different than a divorce. It is not a dissolution of a marriage. It is a recognition of the invalidity of that bond. But of course,
it wasn't even there to begin with,
right,
even though it looked like it might be.
Right. But that distinguishes from, I know a lot of good Catholic people have this misunderstanding that, well, if the marriage didn't take place, that means the children are quote unquote illegitimate, which really has no modern understanding anyway, but is not the case. Isn't that right, Rose?
Yeah, no, you know, you, Rich, that the church never, that's not a church term. Illegitimacy is a civil term,
right,
that has to do with property rights.
Right.
And the church knows that every child who comes into this world, no matter how he or she is conceived, is a beautiful gift of God and made in the image and likeness of God.
Right.
So, you know, it's just a gross misunderstanding. And,
right,
and mostly it comes from ignorance.
Right. It was a term, you know, as you said, back when you know, when the church was the primary sort of dispenser of marital rights, then you know, it also kind of got wrapped up in property rights. If there was a marriage breakup, well, who gets the land? Before, you know, there were no checking accounts back then.
Or the illegitimacy thing was, you know, the baron of the property, they didn't have bank accounts, but they had 40 acres.
Right.
So
right,
if he was messing around with the milkmaid and had a child out of wedlock, and then he dies, the milkmaid's kid is going to now compete for that 40 acres, those property rights.
Right.
So, you know, we know about those in old movies and old books, and that's still around, that misconception, that illegitimacy has something to do with our children after a civil divorce.
Right. Okay, well, I just want to remind our listeners again, you're listening to Holy Spirit Radio, WISP, 1570 AM in Doylestown and 1420 AM in Coatesville. I'm your host, Deacon Rich Napoli, with my wife, Janet. And we're joined by a host of guests today to talk about the world meaning of families and its and the teachings on divorce and how to live a Catholic life in divorce. And so we have as our main guest here, Rose Sweet, a national speaker on the topic and writer. We also have at the local level from St. Andrew's Parish, Kathy DiRico, our Director of Religious Education, and two parishioners, Roger Seesock and Laura Rita, who have been attending and going through Rose's 12-part video series on on the Catholic Divorce Survival Guide. So maybe turn to Kathy first. Give us a little, you know, how did you come about this program and how is it working in the parish?
As a divorced Catholic myself, Laura Reeder and I felt compelled to really find a way to help others who walk this, and we prayed and decided that we were going to really just put forth a real prayerful effort initially. And this particular program that Rose has developed and created, the Catholic Divorce Survival Guide program, was brought to us, and gratefully we have been now running it. And I personally have been able to gain tremendous insight from it, and even though I've been divorced 12 years, listening to the DVDs and going through the process and facilitating the program has been wonderful for me. And I thank Rose for putting this together, and I'd love to hear more about her, what brought her to put this together. And I know that might be a whole show too, Rose. So it's a pleasure being with you on this program. So thank you again for joining us.
And to Laura and Roger, so you've been going through this program. Have you completed the program, or are you still in the middle of this right now?
We've gone through it. Well, Kathy and I, and we've gone through it about three times.
Oh, wow.
We started off viewing it first to see if this is something that we wanted to bring to the parish. And now we've done it two times at Queen of the Universe in Levittown.
Right.
You know, small groups starting out now, so we're hoping that, you know, more will start to come, and really that the Lord heals hearts. There's so much hurt still. And people who are coming are at different stages. Some are just, you know, just separated. Some are further on. Some have been divorced for a long time. So it really is, you know, every situation is really unique.
Yeah, yeah. And have you, and the program for yourself has helped you?
Yeah, I think a lot of my healing was kind of done before we got to this point. You know, I turn to the sacraments. Mm. I turn to Our Lady, you know, the rosary. I felt it was during that whole process I felt Jesus the closest. Mm. I felt him carrying me through it. And, you know, as Rose said earlier, you know, she talked about the brokenhearted, and, you know, Jesus is close to the brokenhearted, and I found that out on a very personal level.
Mm.
And she did mention also that you're going through hell, and that's what it does. It feels like you're going through that. But, you know, Our Lady was there. Jesus was there. They got me through it. You know, confession, communion, you know, became a daily communicant, which I wasn't before. So,
right.
You know, there was really a lot that...
great graces.
Yeah,
you
know, a lot of things.
Yeah,
a lot of graces.
You know, what's the expression? If you're going through hell, keep going. Because it's the only way you get out. let me go to Roger, my good friend Roger Cisak here, who's, I know from another parish program we've been doing called Christ Renews His Parish, and Roger and I have sort of become good brothers here in faith. And Roger, I know, you know, as a divorced Catholic, you struggled in the beginning, but you really drew closer to the Lord as well. And why don't you tell us a little bit about that in this program?
Sure. Well, this, as much as the pain I went through and the heartache and really just the fear and doubt, I mean, eventually started leading me back to I was always in the church. I never got left. Like people sometimes say they leave. I never left the church. I may have been the calisthenic Catholic or the cafeteria Catholic, which I will say was definitely me. But this actually one day, I just remember walking through the neighborhood that I now live in now and just suddenly going, man, I don't know what to do anymore. And I just felt the presence of our Lord there saying, you know, I'm here for you. I'm here to walk with you.
Mm.
I finally cracked the Bible open. Then it was not just being cracked open because I had a class or something. I actually started to read it and get into it. So I started that journey back to really understand what the Catholic Church teaches. And as Rose was mentioning, so much misperception. And I really went on a journey to start to understand exactly what our faith teaches, why it teaches, why we have such beauty in the Catholic Church. And just really getting the knowledge, because once you start understanding it, the knowledge, it all starts to make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that I found as I was on this journey, you know, it's just, you know, trying to gain knowledge is just that when I can put the pieces together, I can then, you know, not look at it as saying, well, why do I have to be chaste? Why do I have to be, you know, what is celibacy? It all kind of ties together, and there's a rational and sensible reason to it. Yeah. And so I got involved in here. I got a phone call one day from Kathy out of the blue and asking me, you know, what are you thinking? What do you think about this program? And I was kind of a little, not taken back. I was a little surprised. But I felt what I saw on my sort of this journey I was taking after my separation was going on. Anytime someone calls like this, I knew the Lord had something in plan for me. So you know, we talked a little bit, and then we kept talking about we got to get together and with Laura, and I think it was like around Thanksgiving of 2013 we finally got together. Yeah. And then the process went from Thanksgiving of 2013 all the way through I guess May or so.
Yeah.
So we had a lot of sessions. So really I've never really gone through the program as with another group doing it. We pretty much did it ourselves, but those evenings were very long and very insightful in discussion. But it was great to actually sit with a group who was going through the program, so I could hear how they feel and their reaction, and knowing we had taken that journey together through this process. So, I just, you know, as much as all the pain, I know the Lord had a plan for me, and He's still unfolding it, and we'll just keep taking a walk every day and see where He takes me.
Yeah, I have to say, watching you these past 2 years that I've known you, to see you, you know, draw closer and closer to Christ and deeper in your faith. You know, I don't want to say because of your separation, but certainly you turned to the Lord and the great blessings, because I've seen you not just healed yourself somewhat, but also going out and reaching out to others and pulling them in. And that's, you know, God can take whatever terribleness in our lives and turn it into something wonderful if we let Him, if we participate in His call for us. You know, Rose, I know you're also, you've been through this process yourself, and I think that maybe tell us a little bit about, you know, what inspirations you had to do the come up with this wonderful program, which, by the way, is available. You can find out more about it at rosesuite.com. But tell us a little bit about this Catholic Divorce Survival Guide and how you came
to Rich, I'm so glad that you all are bringing up the fact, and we've heard it from both Kathy and Roger, that not because of divorce, but out of divorce can come healing, maturity, virtue, return to the faith, a deeper spiritual life, a more joyful life in all every area. And that's pretty darn exciting. And that's what happened to me. I went off and was pursuing all the things I thought would make me happy, which I had identified as a little kid when I saw Cinderella, and it's coming out again.
Yes.
Husband, home, and a kid, and children happily ever after, I would be happy. And so I pursued it on my own terms, kept making mistakes, trying it again, making mistakes, trying it again, until I'd made such a big mess out of my life. I kind of call it a pile of manure, because that's what sin is. But the beautiful thing, using these earthly analogies, if you will surrender, which I finally did out of sheer frustration, and I called out to God and I said, okay, I'm done doing this myself. Take it and do with me what you will. So take that stinky stuff and spread it around the garden and bring beautiful fruits and flowers from it. He brings beauty out of ashes. No, so of my sinful, headstrong, painful past, God has brought a beautiful international now ministry to the divorce.
Right.
I didn't plan that, you know. And
right,
that,
sure.
That was not always God's plan for me. God did not plan that I should be divorced, but He allows me to make those free choices and then says, despite your sinfulness, despite your poor choices, I will be here to bring something beautiful from it. And that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, and I think that's what so many people, regardless of the kind of tragedy in your life or sinfulness in your life, that God is always there. He's always calling you back and say, I'm here. I'm never leaving you, and I welcome you to come back. And but He doesn't impose Himself on us. It's always that invitation.
I love Rose. I'm sorry, Rose. Go ahead. I just wanted to say I love how you call yourself a recovering sinner. and how it's the sacraments that really help ground you, especially confession and the Eucharist.
Well, and we know confession and Eucharist aren't things we do. They're where we go and be with a real person and have intimacy with him. And that's where we go to be with Christ in a special and unique way that reaches deep into our hearts and our lives and purifies us and fills us with love. And, you know, that's what we all want, except we're chasing after that, those intimacies and those joys in other places and expecting the same result.
Yeah.
So, I was so thrilled when the opportunity came to me to then plop down 12 real Catholic people like you guys who went through divorce and separation and healing, and to tell your stories on the videos. And that's what I really love about the video program is those people are real.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, having been through it and watched the videos, at the very beginning, aren't they raw?
Yes.
I mean, they're like sobbing and not coming out their nose. They're angry.
Yes, it is true.
But by the end, what do they look like?
They are full of peace, hope, joy. Their overall disposition is entirely different at the end than it is when you start the series. And, these men and women, they share their story, their pain, their sorrow, their challenges, and their mistakes. I mean, they're very open. And you really do, you're on a journey with them, and you get to know them and their situation. And then you find yourself chuckling with them, with their candidness, you know. They're really terrific. And then you really, the best part is you can hear and see them transforming. And it is really, it's wonderful. And it's wonderfully done and produced. And we're just getting such terrific feedback from it. So it's...
Well, God bless you for your hard work and your heart for other people. I mean, this program could never be in existence without people like you, so thank you.
Mm-hmm. Kathy, can you give us an outline of, like, what happens when you attend one of these sessions? Like, what can someone expect?
Well, Rose, we've taken the 12 videos and we've condensed them to 6 evenings. And so we were doing it on Friday evenings from 7 to 9. So what we would do is we would watch a video, we would discuss it, and then watch a second video, and then discuss that. And, we did kind of look at all the different possibilities on how to present this. So, I mentioned this to you because for us it worked out very well. And for 6 weeks, people were really able to make that commitment for that period of time. So that did work out well for us.
And if people want to find out more about that, Kathy, because I'm sure this will be given... Again, periodically, where would they go for that information?
Yes, we're planning on presenting this again at Queen of the Universe Parish in Levittown, as well as St. Andrew Parish in Newtown this summer. We'll be providing information about that.
And we'll have to be doing some public service announcements about that.
Right, as the programs mm-hmm. get announced mm-hmm. and the locations and the times, that would be great. So.
In addition to those stories that people share, their personal stories, the experts who provide that excellent advice that's woven in, I think that's important to include as well, because you have a wonderful list of Father Don Calloway and Dr. Ray Guarendi and Father Mitch Pacwa, Father Steve Porter, and then Christopher West, who also provide tremendous insight throughout the series. And that, I think, is really, that's an extremely significant and valuable part of the series.
Right, right. Okay, once again, I want to remind our listeners, you're listening to Holy Spirit Radio, WISP 1570 AM in Doylestown and WCOJ 1420 in Coatesville. I'm your host, Deacon Rich Napoli, here on Deacon Dialogues, joined by my wife, Janet. And several St. Andrew's parishioners who have attended this video series, and as well as the creator of the video series, Rose Sweet. So thank you all again for being here. Now, Rose, I want to turn to back to you a bit and talk about some of the common misconceptions about divorce and annulment, because I know we could spend a whole program on what annulment is and so on, but let's start with... two misconceptions I hear all the time. One is, if you're divorced, you can't receive communion. Is that true?
Right. I hear that all the time, too. And, of course, it is not. Here's divorce is usually the last thing that happens after a whole string of sinfulness. You know, sometimes the physical civil divorce is a necessity.
Right.
And I'm just going to use, and people could get all upset about that, but imagine an abused woman, and then now the kids are getting abused,
right.
And she really needs to get out of there and to protect herself and the kids. The church even permits her to file civil divorce. Now, she's still married in the eyes of the church,
right,
until proven otherwise.
Right.
But there are times when divorce may be necessary. Now, yes, in our culture, most of the time, it's not.
Right.
But
if you divorce and you're not remarried and you're living a chaste, meaning abstinent life, then if you go to confession, you are free to receive communion. Is that right?
Right. And so exactly. Thank you for that. So getting to your question, if you're not in a state of serious sin, and sometimes divorce, the civil divorce isn't a sin, but there was other sin involved,
right,
you may present yourself to our Lord and to receive his body and blood. That's what you're doing. Now, if you're in the state of serious sin, whether you're married, divorced, single, old, young, nobody should be presenting themselves for Holy Communion, because it's like you're walking up to our Lord and you haven't taken a bath in 6 weeks. and I always say this to the women, you haven't shaved your legs in a year. And everybody laughs, you know. And I said, that's what the beauty of confession, where you get to be cleaned up and reconciled so that you can then go be intimate with our Lord.
Right. That's a beautiful way to put it. So that's one misconception that you know, somehow people run away from the church because, well, I'm divorced, I can't receive the sacraments anymore. That is not the case. And even if you are, you know, civilly remarried, you can still participate in confession. You are called to, you know, abstain from communion until you get your marriage annulled. And,
well, you know, you can't even receive the sacrament of confession, and here we go. This is a deep and hard teaching, but it's actually beautiful. Because confession means you confess your sin and you have a firm
intention.
Right,
that's true.
And so what has to happen, if you've civilly remarried and you and your new spouse, civil spouse, understand what the church teaches, you pull apart and you can sometimes stay in the same house, but you do not live as a married couple.
Right, you live with brother and sister.
Right. Then you can receive the sacrament.
Right, thank you for that clarification.
Right.
But tell us now some misconceptions about annulment. I mean, I hear people say, well, it's too expensive, it's
right.
You got to bribe the church or whatever, and it's, you know, it's too long and so on and so on. What are some of the realities of the annulment process?
Well, and you know this, that at being a deacon and having studied canon law, that canon law actually says that if you don't have any money and can't pay, you don't have to pay a cent.
Right.
But in reality, the average cost of processing this long and detailed paperwork and paying the experts who help you through it around the country is between $400 and $600.
Right.
You can do a payment plan. You can pay part of it. The tribunals will work with you. It's not about the money at all.
Right. It is about, as you mentioned earlier, it is about this serious evaluation of your consent at the time of your marriage and evaluating and talking to those who knew you at that time to see, to sort of assess your state of mind and the state of your spouse's mind at that moment. And that's what takes time. It's actually an investigation where those people are contacted, and if they choose to participate, they weigh in. Is that right?
Well, yeah, and here's the thing. You would never go, after your civil divorce, you wouldn't go to court without paying your attorney. And,
right.
You know, we understand that the experts who help you through the annulment process are qualified professionals who like to shop at the grocery store and feed their kids, too. So, you know, it's really a matter of justice to realize that you are really being helped through a difficult time and to help defray the cost. But, again, if you can't, you do not have to.
Right. And I think a lot of people don't understand the many graces that come through the annulment process. I think, Kathy,
yes.
you've actually had the annulment, and you want to talk a little bit about that? In terms of, to the extent you can.
I did find the process to be meaningful and helpful, and I think there is a good reason to do this, and I think anybody who is considering it should prayerfully proceed and start the process if they feel like they are being called to pursuing an annulment. And I personally found it to be helpful to do that reviewing and reflective aspect of it in my own situation.
Right, right. And Roger,
another myth, Rich, is that, oh, well, it's been 25 years and we had four kids. There's no way I'm going to get an annulment.
Right.
And I try to remind people, I go, okay, did you go take that big class on canon law? You know, you don't really know what the church teaches, and let us help you understand
that. Right. And the church is...
Time and children don't...
Right, I'm sorry. Yeah, the church is dealing with that dual reality. On the one hand, you know, saying that this bond is indissoluble, but at the same time dealing with the reality that the marriage is no longer...
Was never
active. So the church encourages you to go through this process because it knows that there's healing that comes from this, as painful as it can be, and it helps you prepare for your next marriage in a way so that you understand more fully what you're called to live in a marriage state. Roger, you're going through it right now.
I am. And I know, Rose, and when you were on Catholic Answers a few weeks ago, someone made a comment about a 35-page paper, and it's not that long. But the questions are, there are a number of questions, and it really does cause you to really reflect and think. But through that reflection, there's a lot of healing. I know when I was looking to start it, and I had the paperwork set on my desk for a year because I just didn't feel like opening up looking at the questions, because I knew they were going to cause me to look at, well, who Roger is and what Roger was and still is in many cases.
Right, right.
But a lot of my priest friends were very clear about the healing aspect and getting closure and going through it. So they all encouraged me. And I went through the questions. You can get through maybe 75% of them really quick, and then you get that last 20. It's an 80-20 rule, basically.
Right,
20%
right.
at the end. But it's a good process, and I'm glad I'm going through it. The priest down at the tribunal who I met with was extremely helpful and courteous and really trying to, you know, put it all in context for me.
Right.
So far, the process itself hasn't been daunting. I mean, finding witnesses can be a little challenging, but you know what? The Holy Spirit dropped a few in my lap that I didn't think about when I was struggling with it. So I'm still going through it, and you know, it'll be in their hands, and you know, whatever God lays in front of me is fine. I mean, that's His plan, and I'll work from there. But I found it to be a very good process for trying to get my own personal healing.
Yeah. May I quickly add, for the benefit of some of your listeners who may have gone through this, and some people, and I hear this when I go around and speak, some people had a horrible experience and got treated horribly at their parish and at the tribunal. That's not the norm, but it does happen. And I would just say, if something like that happened to you or somebody you know, please ask them to, reach out to somebody else or call somebody else, because there are good, wonderful people who can help.
And I also want to add that, you know, if you're considering going through the annulment process, maybe you're thinking, well, my ex-spouse is not going to cooperate with this. You can still go through the process with or without their cooperation.
Right.
Right.
Right. They're invited to participate, but not required.
Right.
You can proceed without them. And I think that's another misconception that I hear, too, is just the length of time it takes to get one. And I've seen misconceptions on both sides. I've seen people that have, you know, found someone they wish to be with and say, oh, I'll just go get an annulment, then we'll get married. And they already set the date for the marriage, and they haven't even started the annulment process. And then they get slammed with the fact that, wow, it takes time. And I've heard other people not even attempt the annulment because they think it's a five-year process. And reality is it's somewhere in between.
It's like 6 to 9 months, maybe a little bit longer. But it's not that.
Right, right. Yeah. Is that the average, Rose, that you've seen?
The average around the country that is about a year to a year and a half. But most of the tribunals will tell you the reason for that is because of the lack of witnesses returning their paperwork in a timely manner.
Okay.
Right.
And it could also be maybe what type of annulment you're going for. Sometimes it's just the form of marriage.
Lack of form annulment.
Yeah. Some can take more lengthy.
Yeah, lack of form in our diocese here takes 2 weeks.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, same here in the Archdiocese. If you fill out the paperwork, lack of form, for those of you not familiar, where two baptized Catholics get married outside the church in a non-Catholic ceremony, and now they divorce, you still have to get that annulled, but it is not a full sacramental marriage. The annulment process is much quicker in those cases. So,
yeah, all right. I think there's a lot of anger because, you know, you're married, let's say, and you're just everybody has struggles in their marriage. Come on, everybody, admit it. Yeah, and you look around and you see somebody who divorced and they get an annulment, you're going kind of, hey, no fair. I'm still hanging in here trying to be good and working hard and I'm kind of miserable and they're free. So I see a lot of that anger that comes to the conversation when people say, you know, oh, it's just this and it's just that, cost too much. And
they're
very angry.
Right. Well, I'm afraid that that's all the time we have today. I do want to thank all our guests today, Kathy DiRico, Laura Rita, Roger Cisak, and Rose Sweet, for being part of this. Of course, my wife Janet is always part of this. I didn't even call her a guest. But thank you all for joining us. I would like to end. There is a special prayer for the World Meeting of Families. I invite you all to come to this World Meeting of Families, which is worldmeeting2015.org and rosesweet.com are the two websites. But let's quickly, in the time we have left, if we could all read this prayer. I'm not sure you have it, Rose, but we'll read it for you. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. God and Father of us all, in Jesus, your Son and our Savior, you have made us your sons and daughters in the family of the Church. May your grace and love help our families in every part of the world be united to one another in fidelity to the gospel. May the example of the Holy Family, with the aid of the Holy Spirit, guide all families, especially those most troubled, to be homes of communion and prayer, and to always seek your truth and live in your love. Through Christ our Lord, amen. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, pray for us. So once again, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and again. Once again, thank you all for listening, and we'll see you at the World Meeting of Families. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Deacon Dialogues. We hope you will join us each month at this time, the fourth Friday at 4 p.m., or for the encore the following Sunday at 2 p.m.